Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Didier Moraes, the founder and CEO of Vital Versatility, and I'm on the Kicks and Shit show. Check me out. Stay tuned. We out here.
What's good, everybody? We are back. It is your boy Jerron, and your girl Gabby, episode 91 of the Kicks and Shit Show.
I knew that was coming. I was like, he's uploading something before this starts, and I can't fucking wait. I'm here for today. I like it. It's
a nice listen. You know, we're gonna.
Don't be like that. Don't abuse it. One day of sound effects already. What? Heard it twice.
What do you? What? Come on. What? No.
Don't get gassed.
Yeah, we gotta do all that. We gotta do all the sound effects.
Not every day. I want to know what's on that bag of tricks right there, Jay.
Gabby, where in the world are you this week?
Well, I'm in a closet currently. I'm in LA. I'm in the office this week, which is very exciting. Super good vibes. It's funny when you're at a company that has offices around the world and seeing the different vibes and personalities, right? Like for me, I don't have multiple personalities. I just have a lot of personality. So seeing how that translates in each environment, like mixed with the stress of maybe having to wear real pants. I don't know. It's a very interesting experience. Like I would
right.
say more open plan. Nope. New York is fully open plan.
But this one's more siloed offices and.
There's offices, but there's like co-working spaces and couches. There's like free beverages and cool mugs and like LA kind of stuff. It's like a whole different vibe. And also there's no tall buildings in LA. So being on the 24th floor, it's like views for days. I love everything about it. So it's a nice change of pace. And I think, you know, return to office is real for a lot of people and a lot of people listening to this show. And I just, you know, I would love to know even what everyone's kind of work balance is like, right? Balancing being less productive, going back to work. In New York, they've had food or drinks or both every day this week. I'm like, y'all couldn't spread it out? You got to blow your load the first week? All right. That's such a New York thing. I'm glad you like that one.
That's a good New York thing to me.
LA is like, there's an LA Fitness across the street. I'm like, let's go.
So, okay. you've done the offices in New York, you've done the offices in LA. I think you're going to do Seattle at some point.
Yep.
Are your kicks different for your day in the office in each location? So what did you wear on your feet in LA versus New York?
Well, I've been starting to leave a few pairs in LA just so I don't have to check a bag every single time. It makes let you know I love efficiency in pretty much everything I do. That's how I can spread myself so incredibly thin all the time. I had to wear patent bread ones the Clips game yesterday. I mean, and we got them from our man's at Shoe Plug. So I had to represent, had to have LA stuff on my feet. And you know, if your girl is sitting courtside, and I'm not trying to say that to flex, but
you are flexing, so it's cool.
That's my vibe. I know people in different areas and arenas. It's like a perk of my job, right? And I think I'm extra excited to talk to our guest today because I think people just see the perks and don't realize the work that goes behind it. Mm-hmm. But you know, I think if you're sitting courtside at any game or near courtside or on the lower level, actually for me, it's if I enter the arena at all, my kick's got to be on point.
Yep.
And it has to tie into the theme. It has to be like a whole thing. And you know, LA, the style at the LA office is a lot more relaxed. Mm. I think because of the brand I work on, the team I'm on, we have a little bit more flexibility in how we dress. But I will say, being on a team that's like that, I like that there's a culture of that. But I mean, you know, today I'm wearing a dress, which is weird. It's basically a long t-shirt because I didn't feel like putting on pants today, and a bomber jacket that is my version of a blazer. Okay. Today I'm rocking Wave Runners in the office. Okay. I had breakfast with a girl on my team who I adore. Shows up with the Melody Asani ones, like she's wearing a pair of beaters. I was like, girlfriend, I don't know if you know the resale on those, but bless you for wearing them during Women's History Month. So it's that's a whole vibe out here.
It is. It is definitely a vibe out in LA. You are enjoying your fun in the sun. I will say, at the time of this recording, it's a little bit of a poor weather day in New York, but tomorrow it's going to be up in the 70s, which will be nice. An unseasonably warm day in March, but you know, we'll take it. And you know what that's like in New York, right, Gabs? Whenever we get those rando warm days in March, people lose their godforsaken mind.
And their clothes. Everybody's naked. All of a sudden, I'm like, all right, it's not shorts weather yet, my guys. Or put some sleeves on, you know. And I would like to think that I'm bringing some of the LA weather back to New York because, you know, I got to take credit for that shit, even though there's no way that's possible. Right? that there's always that freak day or weekend in March. Mm-hmm. I agree. Everybody loses their minds. They throw their rugs out the window for a minute. Mm-hmm. And then a weekend later it snows. So I'm hoping that
pretty much.
I'm not there for that part because I know there's been some inclement weather the past week or so.
There has. But you know, it's the nature of the beast. It's the time of year. You know, I'm excited too about our guest, Gabby, because you know, we often talk about the highlight reels of social media, right? And that's what everybody sees and that's what gets everybody. Because look, people want to see the fun stuff, right? They don't want to necessarily see the work that goes in behind it. But our guest coming up, man, this is someone who you might see him hanging out with Fat Joe. You might see him hanging out with Meek Mill. You might see him hanging out with Michael Rubin, CEO of Fanatics, part owner of the Philadelphia 76ers. I mean, he is with some heavy hitters out here in these streets. But it's not just about the glitz and the glam, right? It's about putting in the work. It's about building relationships. And I'm really looking forward to you guys checking that out. So stay tuned. What's good, y'all? We are back. Gabby, we are not alone. We are joined by a man who, if you go on his Instagram or anything like that, you might see him sitting courtside with Meek Mill. You might see him on a private jet with Meg Thee Stallion. You might see him hanging out with, I don't know, Fat Joe. All these incredible superstars. And he has made the entrepreneurial plunge to start his own agency, Vital Versatility, the founder and CEO, Didier Mraz. What's up, my guy?
What's going on, brother? And clarify Vital Versatility, my brother.
Did I do it backwards?
You said Vital Versatility.
Oh, my bad.
You added an extra.
My bad.
Yeah, you gotta understand. My bad. I'm also the fifth grade spelling bee champ. You know what I mean? So all those things.
My bad. Versatility. Pardon me. Versatility. How are you, my guy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Can't complain. So look, man, let's just start there. We're in the middle of a pandemic. It's ongoing. I don't know what. On year three now, two, three, something like that. And you decide, you know what? I'm going to start my own full service public relations agency. Where did the genesis for that come from? And how has it been going in the early stages?
Yeah, well, you know, to be honest, I don't think I would have made this move without the pandemic. I think when the pandemic happened and I was part of my previous agency, it kind of forced us all to be a little scrappier and bring in more business, because just inevitably most organizations were affected by it, lost some clients. So I think it really brought a new level of responsibility. I think at that particular time, you know, I knew I was just a great publicist and I knew how to execute for my clients, but I think it was now generating new business was kind of the new challenge. And, you know, ironically, at that particular period, more people started hitting me for business. And then I started bringing more business to the organization and building kind of the music and entertainment department. And then little by little, just really, you know, over the years of being in this particular industry, in music, sports, lifestyle, entertainment, you just build a Rolodex of contacts and you try to do good work that they keep you in mind for when it comes down to that time for any type of promo, for a type of press run, whatever the case may be. And it really gave me the confidence that after kind of essentially, you know, 2 years into that pandemic where I was able to build something, I really had that entrepreneurial itch to build it for myself. You know, I saw how I built a department from scratch out of my contacts. And, you know, it was, you know, a big shout out to my former employer, you know, Ron Berkowitz and Michael Kempner at Burke Communications, because at the end of the day, they are entrepreneurs and they know how it is when you have that itch to kind of follow your dreams. And unlike other employers, you know, they were incredibly supportive. They wanted to see me chase my dream. And I'm incredibly indebted to those guys for supporting me, not only as a professional, but DDMRI is the person, the human being.
That's dope, man. And so, all right, you're deciding to do this thing. Who is the first person you hit? Who decides to say, okay, you don't have the umbrella of a corporation behind you. It is still you, DDMRI, who I know I've done the work with, so I know he's good, but he doesn't have that corporate backing. Who was the first person to step on that ledge with you and say, I believe in you, man, let's go, I'm signing up?
Man, it was a bunch of people, man. I mean, I can't pinpoint a particular person who was like first. I would just say I had my own individual conversations with different clients. You know, again, big shout out to the Yo Gotti and Van Jones and Fat Joe. You know, those were some of the ones I had like my initial conversations with.
You know, just some regular people, you know.
Yeah, but I think the thing is, right, they're all entrepreneurs within themselves. So I think everyone can really understand it. You know, what Joe built with Terror Squad, what Yo Gotti has been building with CMG for his record label, what Van Jones has been building. You know, this guy co-founded, you know, 5 different startups. He has so many entrepreneurial things that you guys don't even hear of, because of a lot of people just mainly think of him for CNN or again, some of his social justice mm-hmm. work, but all of them are businessmen in their own rights. And they were all incredibly supportive. And they know, especially, you know, as a, you know, young Colombian Cape Verdean person of color and somebody that, wants to own something, because mm-hmm. you know, I think especially a lot more in this era where we really talk about ownership. Yep. You know, you hear it in every industry. You hear it in the music industry where, you know, people want to be in control of their masters. You hear it in the sports industry where you see people like Dwayne Wade or Renee Montgomery taking ownership pieces of particular franchises and getting some of, you know, that ownership. Or even just in the television world and owning, you know, different programs mm-hmm. and having some of those strong, you know, executive producer rights. That's just an ongoing conversation that traverses all industries that I feel like everybody can relate to and have that desire. And I think everyone, again, I'm incredibly supportive. Those were the first, I think, 3, you know, immediate ones that come to bat. I ultimately, over time, had a lot of conversations with all different clients. And I'm just incredibly appreciative that everyone from Rock Nation to, you know, Young Blue to E-40 to so many more, you know, they believed in me. And I feel a great responsibility to make sure that I continue to deliver and do my part because of the belief that they put in me.
I love that. I think, you know, having a tribe around you, especially during this pandemic, I mean, that's how we started. It's taking that leap of faith, but knowing that you have the support behind you. I think Gerard, like, I love when Gerard does intros because, I just want to take him everywhere and have him describe me to other people because he does such a good job. But I think, you know, for our listeners who don't necessarily really understand and know about what PR is, right? They see the highlight reel that's on social media. But, you know, I would love for you to get into a little bit more about kind of what the behind the scenes is and all the different things that you do for your clients beyond what the expected is.
Absolutely. So, you know, when it comes to public relations, really at the end of the day, and I've thrown out a lot of personalities in this particular, discussion, but, you know, it's obviously representing brands as well. You know, I work with like AudioMac, the streaming platform, or like a restaurant, you know, Victory Restaurant and Lounge. But so the whole concept of PR is like you are in charge essentially of the brand, and it could be a person, a personality brand, like again, like we mentioned, the Fat Joe, or, you know, a corporation brand, you know, like an AudioMac. And it's really just the public perception and amplification and reputation that comes with it. And I think there's very various degrees of kind of splitting it. I think on one hand, it's amplifying a brand. In another hand, it's protecting the brand. And another one is kind of it's preserving. Mm-hmm. So, but what I say that is amplifying it is like, they're all, what I take a lot of pride in, why I called my company Vital Versatility, is because especially when it comes to personalities, and let's just use musicians for it because there's a lot of examples there, but I don't want artists to just be pigeonholed in music. You know, when I started working with Meek Mill, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, and he was viewed strictly as a rapper, and then to be able to kind of work and help rebrand him and work with him together for him to be highlighted and amplified as a criminal justice reform advocate, is something that I take a great deal of pride in. And I think what I like to do is really take people and put them into different sectors that they're not traditionally known in. Like if you're a fan of, you know, food and beverage, and you have a spirits line or something, like, I want to make sure we're telling your story in the business sector as well. We're telling it in the food and beverage industries. If you are, you know, a tech investor, like, we need to be telling those stories again in the tech publications and not just be telling them through the traditional music and entertainment. So I think that's the amplification part. When it comes to protecting, you know, part of it is in times that you may have clients that may be in particular legal situations for that matter, and it's about, you know, working with them and their attorneys to strategize. Or sometimes it just, you know, there may be misunderstandings for whatever reason, and that's why you're also part of the mouthpiece to help clarify when, if there's, you know, if a media outlet incorrectly speculates about something and writes an incorrect narrative, is making sure, how do you educate the media and educate people to rectify the appropriate narrative, and preserving it. In many cases, sometimes it can be simply as, like, if you have an album promo or you have an announcement, it's just making sure that, you know, some of those, that day-to-day work, just make sure it gets amplified at the highest level across a broader array of different media publications. So it's everything from facilitating interviews to drafting press releases and content to coordinating, you know, placement of particular things. So there's a lot that goes into it. I try to kind of keep it, you know, to those three buckets, which I think are the three biggest pillars, PR, at least personally, mm-hmm. for me. But there's so much more, you know, it's getting them events and, you know, some, you know, brand, I want to say getting them brand partnerships, but, you know, also mm-hmm. getting them aligned when possible to like a potential party where it can create future mm-hmm. opportunities.
No, that's exactly dead on. And Didier, what's so interesting is, what is the connective tissue for you in a day-to-day situation where, let's say, you wake up and you get hit on either text or whatever, where a client has a particular situation, you have to do damage control, and that's at like 8 a.m. And then, you know, you got to get to downtown because so-and-so has an album release. But in between that, you know, you have another client who has a brand partnership they have to deal with. What is the connective tissue that allows you to deal with, you know, in that case, those three different scenarios?
I think it's two things. It's first and foremost, relationships with everybody you've built across the board, across the gamut. And they're interchangeable, and getting on the fucking phone. And by that, let me start off with that, is that a lot of what I do, it's funny because my dad stayed with me. I had him over last year, and he stayed with me for a couple weeks. And he's like, half your day is literally just being on the phone and talking. And I'm like, that's exactly that. I'm like, because I get much more work than when I just call somebody. And, you know, I rather go through, you know, something with somebody for 5 minutes on the phone instead of trading 10 to 20 emails or text messages over the course of hours. I just don't feel like that's the best use of time, and it's inefficient. And I mean, even Gerard, you know, there were times in the past, you know, back in the day when you and I worked in different capacities where, if you remember, I was calling you know what I mean? So that was, so I try to be as efficient as possible that when I'm on the move, rather than having to construct a whole ass email, is really just having a conversation where I can walk you through something and save myself the time. So you, so that in turn is the phone call, where then when you are on the phone with somebody and then you eventually just build that rapport, where you build a relationship with somebody, then it's, they will pick up your calls quicker, or they, you know, they will be more inclined in many cases when they can control, obviously, to help you out. And that's not always the case, but a part of it is also building those relationships. And my clients also know, you know, because there's always a time whenever you start with any, with most clients, where they're going to kind of try to test you early on to see what you're made of. So, you know, it's going to come with tighter deadlines, and there's always going to be tight deadlines. But once they've seen you prove yourself, it's one of those things like they won't need to follow up with me, because they know what's going to get handled, and they know that I'll be back to them with feedback as soon as I get it. So I would really say it's a combination of those things. But any advice I would give to a young rising publicist, and especially in this era where it's so easy to just do things virtually, is get on the phone with people. Don't lose the in-person connection when you're talking to people, because I feel like, especially in the era of COVID, it's so easy to just get sucked up on virtual conversations. Like, you can't read somebody's body language and their vibe. And that's, again, 80% of communication is really that. And I'm just, that's just one of my biggest pieces of advice, that unsolicited advice off the rip.
No. I love that. And I always say, like, you can tell how old somebody is, how quick they're,
correct,
they are to get on the phone. But I think that that's something that,
damn, is that like a, oh, is that,
no,
like,
no,
a,
no, 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 it's because we're all old, so we all do that.
We're all the same age. I just got good skincare. Don't
chill. I'm way older, but regardless, yeah.
That is true.
I look at him. That is true.
I mean, you are way older, but regardless, I think, like, that's the thing that is missing, that, you know, I'm really glad that you talked about, right, is that it's public relations. How do you relate to people? So much gets lost in tone, in punctuation, like even the way that, like, I know if I ever email dudes versus females, the women all have tons of exclamation points, and then they're like, oh, this man is serious, he didn't put any punctuation. I'm like, that's just how dudes speak, but you can't spell because there's no tone in email versus text or whatnot. And that's always
that question. People can misread that so easily. I had a former colleague, right, when one of our former bosses years ago, and she had gotten an email from the boss, and she was like, oh, this seems like he's being a dick. And I read it, and I'm like, no, and maybe he's just, like, running around fielding a few bunch of different calls, and, like, he just sent you something. Like, not every email needs to have an exclamation point.
Right.
Like, unless you're,
you know, it's not that deep.
It really isn't that deep. And if you really feel some kind of way, get on the phone. Right?
Like, and if you don't feel some kind of way, still get on the phone, because that relationship is important. I mean, I think, like, I love just how you talk about, like, the pandemic as being like a breeding ground for emphasizing that even more, because I think it was so easy for a lot of us to kind of hide. And, you know, like, I mean, I joke that it's really hard putting on real pants going back into an office, but, like, at the end of the day, the whole pandemic, Dredd knows, my camera is on for every meeting. I might have one eye open. I might have, like, had a crazy night the night before, but camera is on because that relationship is important. I would love to know, like, are there any crazy stories that you have, kind of like the one that you said about the email, but, like, of any miscommunication, the importance of all of that kind of technology and how you can lean into that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, anybody I've ever hired, I kind of try to tell them off the bat, I'm like, I'm very transparent. I'm like, don't read into my emails. Like, don't read into it because the no punctuation, whatever. I'm like, I am somebody that I will call you. You will definitely know if there's a problem. I will make it absolutely clear. But the one thing is, don't overanalyze my emails. And, you know, I mean, like, just don't take things personally. I feel like, and, you know, it's much easier said than done. But when it comes to this, it's a business. It's not, is nobody coming for anybody's character, whatever the case may be. It's simply sometimes just like, it's this particular assignment. And it's like, I like to treat it like a sporting event or whatever the case may be. Focus on the things you can control, and the things you can't control. Don't waste the time, you know, getting yourself stressed for things you can't control. Some things are just not going to pan out for whatever reason. It's going to be a shitty day. Client may get mad at you. Something may not work out. And that's why I live life the way I do, because I'm going to do everything I can to put myself and my team in position to succeed. And if for whatever reason we feel like we've prepared and done the best possible and executed in everything, you know, at the highest level, and then not pan out, then I can live with those results.
Yeah.
And that's what I also try to impart to people, because I just feel like it at that particular time, like, again, when people overanalyze, get into their heads a little bit too much or take things personally, that's what prevents you from focusing on the things that you can control and just letting go. And I think that is a trait that I would also encourage any other future entrepreneurs or just anybody really in general. I think that's just not only professionally, but that's just like a life philosophy for
me. Yeah, no, for sure. That's dead on. I love that answer. You know, vital versatility is at the nexus of sport, music, culture, lifestyle, right? And in the past, you've worked with sneaker brands like Puma, et cetera. What are you seeing from your clients, from different people in those industries as it relates to the sneakers and the brand companies? Are you seeing more partnerships? Are you seeing different types of partnerships? What are you seeing from sneaker brands in particular? We Are a Sneaker Show, as it relates to the work that you do.
I mean, I just think you see a more of an intersection between sports, music, entertainment, and culture than ever before. You know, for the longest time, right? Sneaker culture was really just predominantly predicated with athletes, and the endorsements is really what I'm referring to, right? And then now you see that over the several years, endorsements have spread, you know, to different artists and musicians and things like that. I mean, you've seen what J. Cole did with Puma, and that was something I was proud of, was leading the charge when Puma first signed Cole. But even with some of the clients that I now work with that have their own, you know, sneaker endorsements and affiliations, it's just beautiful to see how it's starting to evolve outside of just the traditional, you know, athlete music sense. Because everyone knows it's such a tight synergy there that it's like, again, it's been like this for years. But I just think with every year, I think entertainers are just becoming so much more embedded into the fabric of the sneaker culture. Like, I love seeing someone like J Balvin when he got his Jordan shoe. Like, I just thought that was phenomenal. And especially as a Latino, just being able to have like a Jordan shoe, like, I just think that was just something that was really disruptive and phenomenal. And I think that I expect that we're going to continue to see people push that limit. I mean, I think now you're even seeing more than ever, right? I think what I'm also very intrigued by is like, now it's gravitating from like sneaker culture to now you see these big brands like McDonald's and Popeyes and KFC partnering with a lot of these entertainers, you know, White Castle with Fat Joe, Popeyes with Megan Thee Stallion, KFC with Jack Harlow, and, you know, Sweetie and Travis Scott and Balvin from McDonald's. So I just think seeing that kind of next iteration of brand partnerships, that I really think you give the testament to kind of the sneaker brands for even being able to open up those doors to now where you're having kind of the fast food industry really kind of executing similar plays.
What do you kind of see next to that point? I mean, I love that you're talking about the different types of collabs. Like, we talk on the show a lot about how the next wave for sneakers is not just the traditional collaboration, but kind of like that triple collab, right? Is it like the Sakai Cause Nike Blazer, right? Is that something that you're seeing across the board with your clients? Like, maybe there's a J Balvin McDonald's sneaker that's coming out or things like that. Like, kind of what's that next wave in PR and trends that you're seeing when it comes to your clients?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think one of the most innovative and executed ones, and, you know, this is after I kind of worked with Puma, but just seeing how Puma took Cole, right? Because it wasn't just music, although it helped, but it was also telling his desire as an athlete and him wanting to pursue and potentially, you know, mess around and see if he could, you know, get a look in the NBA. But it was like, that was an actual narrative, right? It's like, for a while, you would just see, hey, sneaker collabs, cool, fucking awesome, whatever. But it's like, you got the Dreamer mm-hmm. kicks. But now it's also helping, like, Puma putting the full court, you know, pressed, for lack of a better
name. I see what you did there.
Right? But in order to really, like, help elevate and put him in that position where you're seeing him train, you know, seeing him in all these commercials, and you're furthering that storyline of like, oh man, is he really looking to be that next Master P? So I think it's just helping people get to the bigger picture, you know, goals. Or like, again, what I enjoy with Puma is like, they also played a big role with Meek in like helping amplify the criminal justice reform story and having the reform sneakers and having a, you know, percentage go back. So it's like, it's not just limited to collaborations anymore, but it's actually getting really entrenched into a person's particular passions and how are you working with that person and within their particular passions to help elevate their story and help, you know, the brands also evolve and take their narrative in a different direction.
No, that's exactly right on. And it's really, I mean, what you're talking about is a 360 view, right? Whether you're a musician, an athlete or whatever, that isn't the only thing that you do, right? It may be the thing that you are known for and the thing that pays the bills and gets you all the dollars, but there are other interests that you have, and the brands that are able to synergize those other interests, right? And be the hub, that's the key. And you kind of act as that connector, right? It's like, guys, here are the different things that we can do, and here's what we can put together. So do you have a lot of clients coming in either already with sneaker deals or asking you, hey, can you make intros for me to try to get myself some kind of, I want to work with Puma or whomever?
Well, I mean, I would say that's what I don't do. You know, that's what, you know, brand teams are there for. Like, I wouldn't, you know, I'm not somebody who's connecting the endorsements, you know, per se. But at the same, for me, it's more like once they're connected, right? So once someone has a deal, it's like, how am I working with that mm-hmm. partner to help elevate and like telling them what, you know, what this person's particular passions are, what do they have up in the calendar, what are some moments in time that we can collaborate and really capitalize on, you know, who is, you know, it's really that, it's like they're already locked mm-hmm. in, but it's like, it goes back to the part about amplifying somebody's stories. Like, all right, now how are we amplifying it?
Yeah, love that.
I think that's what it's about at the end of the day with storytelling, right? And I know social media is now part of PR in a way that it wasn't historically. How has social media kind of made your job easier or harder? Like, what are some of those challenges or ways that you even communicate differently on behalf of clients?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question and a great point, because I really think, you know, in the future, like, if for a long time when it came to PR, you were judged strictly by, like, you know, articles and placements and things of that nature. And then over the years, it's like, all right, I need this posted on XXL on their Instagram. I need this on the Shade Room. You know, I really think Shade Room doesn't get enough credit for really kind of ushering in the social media form of journalism, right? Like, of course they have a website, and it's not traditional journalism, so I guess let's mm-hmm. be clear, but I think at the end of the day, they still do break stories, they do reporting on some things, but again, a lot of it is also reposting and things like that. But it is a new wave of how news is being disseminated. Let me recharacterize it in that sense. It's a new wave that how the younger generation is consuming news. There's a lot of people that are consuming it through Shade Room. And I think there are disruptors, and, you know, people are starting to kind of catch up and try to adjust. And I think you're still going to have your traditional form of like journalism and PR and placements, but I think there's going to be a broader emphasis on what can you get on this particular person's Instagram, on their Twitter, really on those, you know, and at some point, probably, you know, the way TikTok continues to evolve, that'll probably be it as well. But I think for now, the main driver really is Instagram. And that's, again, you know, now it's like before you were just having to network with like somebody's, you know, the editor or the journalist or whatever the case may be. Now you're also trying to network with like the social media editor so that when you need something posted or whatever, that they can also support you. So that it's still evolving, but it's definitely a big part of PR now. And I only see it getting even bigger in the years to come.
Yeah. Who knows what it's going to look like in 20 years, right? It might be a whole different thing, right? We all be part of this metaverse where all your PR stuff gets like downloaded directly into your brain somehow. I don't know how, but I'm sure that's the next step.
Okay, Black Bear.
Yeah, for real. That sounds kind of crazy. Yeah.
I mean, it sounds crazy, but I mean, if it happens.
Never know, though. You're right. That is some Black Mirror shit. Absolutely.
No, this is dope, man. Look, Didier, we could talk to you about this stuff forever, but people don't have all that kind of time. And coming up next, folks, is America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane, the premier digital marketplace for dope kicks. So stay tuned. Peace. What's up, y'all? We are back, and you know what time it is. America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane, the premier digital marketplace for dope kicks. Listen, I talk to y'all every week about anotherlane.com. I don't have to say anymore. If you want to get an education about sneakers, you want to get on and try to find some of those rare pairs, you want to network with like-minded people who are part of sneaker culture, anotherlane.com. Do what you have to do. Now, Shoe and Tell is just like it was when you were in school. You got stuff you want to show? Show. Show it to us. Tell us why you like it and why it matters to you. Your show, Didier. So lead us off. What you got?
All right. So.
My favorite part every time.
We got.
Oh, you're coming in hot. It's like that.
He came in hot.
I just want to start off on a good note. Right? But obviously, beyond the fact that these are fire, I think the fact I love the color scheme that I could match black, blue jeans, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. I like to go a little loud sometimes. You know, my thing is like, I don't like to dress a little too quietly. Like here and there, sure, of course. But when it comes to a nice event, I want to make sure at least something stands out. So, you know, when your man's sitting courtside, it's usually with one of these.
Listen, the ones are always a way to go. And, you know, people like their ones. And ones, so when you on courtside in Philly with your man Meek, you probably got the ones on, right? Or a pair of ones. I mean, not those, but a pair of ones on.
Well, yeah, and my man's Michael Rubin, because Michael Rubin really be the plug, and Michael Rubin's sneaker game is vicious.
Shout out to sneakers owner, Sixers owner Michael Rubin, and head of Fanatics, right? He got all kinds of things going on out there.
Absolutely.
All right, what else you got?
All right. I got the DC Basquiat collab with Lil Durk.
Okay, those are fire.
A little Basquiat action, okay?
Yo, why you? Wait, no. Bring those back up here. No.
Let's put a detail on those.
I mean, first of all, Basquiat's become, and look, I'm one of those people that it doesn't matter to me how someone gets talked about, right? If people didn't know about Basquiat until Jay-Z started rapping about it or whatever, I don't care, fine. But that he's getting flowers. But that's how most people are, right? It's in death is when people start, oh, so-and-so was the, yeah, they were the truth. That collab is dope. And I love that. How'd you get your hands on a pair of those, man? You're like, okay, I got you.
All I can say is it's good to know good people in good places.
Yep. I know exactly what that means.
That means next pair, Gerard.
Sometimes you got to protect your sources.
You always got to protect your sources.
That's PR 101 right there. Absolutely. That
PR 101.
And journalism 101.
Correct. Can't be letting people know where I heard this from.
I was a publicist. I was a journalist. Let's be clear.
So you knew. You're like, I can't tell you where I heard that from. You got anything else to show us?
I got one more for
love
you.
Love it.
Got some Fear of God joints out here.
I'm so curious how those are going to value, especially now that he's at Adidas.
Probably way more than what they resell for. I mean, they already resell for a lot now, but I mean.
Yeah.
When that collab drops.
And it's funny because when I got those, I was thinking about reselling it, but I'm in the philosophy, and Fat Joe told me this, though, you know, shout out Joe, but Joe was like, sneakers, because, you know, that's the ultimate sneaker king. Let's be clear. That is the ultimate. Joe was the first person to lick the bottom of a sneaker on television on MTV Cribs back in the day.
I mean, he's a meme.
If you don't know that, do your research.
He's a meme with those Yeezy boots.
Yo,
I was actually with him when we took that picture live. I had a feeling in my head, but
I like it.
But no, with those few guys, I was definitely thinking about flipping them. But at the end of the day, Joe says that sneakers are meant to be worn. Yep. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, they are meant to be worn. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, let me wear them. They're nice. Like,
Joe.
You know, it was a gift. And I wanted to enjoy said gift. And at the end of the day, like, all these things are all material possessions. Like, they're all fire. But at the end of the day, you can gain them. You can lose them, whatever, unexpectedly. So I'm like, fuck it. I want to look fly in them. Let me look fly in some Fear of God.
I mean, that's right. Joe cracked the dawn. You know what I'm saying?
Big facts. Shout out to your man, Joey Crack, Terror Squad. Okay, so this is awesome.
I did okay, right?
You did better than I mean, bro.
I just want to make sure my starting three is strong.
First of all, ain't nobody showing. I mean, people have shown some like pretty exclusive pairs. Those Basquiats and the Fear of Gods. I mean, those aren't every days we see on this show. those are nevers. So well done. Yeah. Well done by you. Didier, man, this is dope. Tell the
episode 91 never going to be the same again.
Tell the people where they can find you, man.
Man, you guys can catch me on Instagram, Twitter, at DDMRIs, DIDIERMORAIS. But most important now, obviously, is the Vital Versatility brand, at Vital Versatility on Instagram. If you have any questions, needs, know anyone looking for PR, info@vitalversatility.com. Website launch coming very, very soon. We out here.
I love that, man. Congratulations on all that success, man. And wishing you much more, continue more. And hopefully we could do some work together in the future. And folks, as always, you know where you can find us. We are part of the Count the Dings family on the Bomb podcast feed with the original Bomb show, with Crypto Bros, with new recap show now that Euphoria is over. Winning Time, the Lakers show, the new recap of that Lakers dynasty show. Of course, Woke Bros with our boy Waz. All the good stuff, the original Bomb show.
We gotta shout somebody out though before we exit. Man, I know I cut off.
Who you shouting out?
We gotta shout out the reason why we're all three of us are connected. Shout out to the homie Jenna.
Always shout out to Jenna. I mean, y'all shout out. I mean, I talk to her like every week.
I'll do it. I am grateful for it, Gerard, because she brought us together
She brought us all together. She's a wonderful person. Shout out to Jenna. I'm done with you. And we are at Kicks and Shit Show on all social media platforms. Until next time, peace.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.